This recording is part of a series of podcasts in which the novel Dear Yoni is read aloud chapter by chapter by the author Lisa Picard. Please note that Dear Yoni contains sexually explicit language and scenes of a sexual nature. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18.
Hi, and welcome back. Last week, we read about the start of Jess's solo journey and her initial forays into the ancient Japanese art of shibari. This week, we continue reading about Jess's solo journey. I hope you enjoy. Chapter 10. Who's been a bad girl then? I had always felt a great deal of curiosity about BDSM, and so I did some internet research for BDSM clubs and groups in my area. As luck would have it, there was a BDSM club, rather obviously called The Dungeon, on the outskirts of the industrial area of my city. And every first Saturday night of the month, Mistress Layla offered a two-hour workshop called BDSM 101. After reading a few very favorable online reviews of the workshop, I decided to take the plunge. So I enrolled myself and my friend Alice, my extroverted and enthusiastic college roommate, in the workshop for the following week. Safety in numbers, right? Now I just had to convince Alice to join me. On Saturday night, as I parked my car in the crowded parking lot in front of a sprawling single-story warehouse, I was seriously considering just driving back home to spend the night binge-watching Netflix and eating popcorn. "You can't wimp out now," Alice piped up from the passenger seat. "Not when I've arranged a babysitter and had my hair blown out. It's my first night out in months. We're doing this," she stated emphatically as she unbuckled her seatbelt and opened her door. I sighed as I exited the car, but it was actually more from relief than from exasperation. I really wanted to have this experience, and thank goodness Alice was the right choice of partner to keep me focused on the goal. The car park was strangely silent, except for the low throb of a bass beat. But when we opened the door of a small waiting room to the left of the warehouse, the music amped up several notches. It was a pretty dreary-looking room, with cheap, generic, pale wooden office furniture and prints on the walls. Five people were sitting on upright, uncomfortable-looking chairs arranged around a matching low coffee table with several out-of-date magazines with curling edges. Alice and I glanced at each other with raised eyebrows. This couldn't possibly be The Dungeon, could it? But before we could even think of leaving, a breathless, high-pitched voice lisped, "Are you here for BDSM 101? We turned around to find a tiny elf with white blonde candy floss curls dressed in what looked like a pink lacy nightgown, with a black latex cortex over the top, black Doc Marten boots, and a black leather collar around her neck, regarding us with curiosity in her huge cornflower blue eyes. As she ran her pointed pink tongue over her lower lip, I noticed the glint of a steel bar piercing the organ. I guess that explained the lisp. Yes, I said, bemused. Nothing about this experience was thus far conforming to my expectations. But once we had signed the indemnity forms that the elf insisted upon and followed her through a set of heavy double metal doors into the club itself, our surroundings had adjusted to be more of what I had expected. Heavy metal music assaulted our ears as the doors opened, and we stood in the doorway, waiting for our eyes to adjust to the dim red lighting in the club. The elf clanged the door closed behind us, and suddenly we were immersed in this frightening new world of latex and leather and naked bodies. So many, many naked bodies. The waiters wore tiny leather thongs that barely covered their genitalia, black leather waistcoats, long boots, and leather caps. In the far corner, under a spotlight, a demonstration of what I recognized to be shibari was taking place between a heavily tattooed male rigger dressed only in a pair of tight black leather pants, and his completely naked young female, surprise, surprise, Bunny. In a large birdcage, suspended from the ceiling in the center of the room, a flamboyant young man, dressed in feathers and not much else, was sensuously undulating his body in time to the music, while a group of what looked like Hell's Angels whistled and cheered him on. A terrifying dominatrix, dressed in a tiny black corset from which her ample breasts were threatening imminent escape, a pair of shiny red latex hot pants and thigh-high boots walked by, her lip lifting in a sneer as she caught my eye. There was no time for any further gawking as the elf was making for the back of the room, like a pint-sized mother duck, followed by her gaggle of awkward, oversized ducklings. We exited the main room through a single door. Once the door closed behind our group, I heaved a sigh of relief. The noise levels were far more manageable in here, and I actually felt as if I could hear myself think again. We were now in a much smaller room, with black walls and a floor covered in black and red beanbags, cushions and mattresses. There was one massive gold chair, actually more like a throne than a chair, in the middle of the room. It was occupied by a gorgeous brunette with deep red lipstick, dressed in a red Marilyn Monroe halter neck dress that ended just above the knee, revealing very shapely legs ending in a pair of red stilettos. She beckoned us into the room and gestured to the cushions and beanbags in front of her throne, where apparently we were to sit in order to receive her instruction. Once we were all more or less comfortably situated, the brunette took her time, gazing at each of us in turn, until we were left under absolutely no illusions as to who was actually in charge here. Then she closed her eyes for a moment, took a deep breath, and drawled in a husky, sultry voice, "My name is Mistress Layla. I am your instructor for this BDSM 101 workshop. You will listen to the theory for 1 hour, and then I will provide a few demonstrations of the equipment and of some of the techniques. The goal is not to make you proficient in any of the techniques in such a short period of time. So don't, under any circumstances, try any of the techniques at home until you have received proper training." Mistress Layla scowled at each of us in turn, and I found myself shaking my head to appease her and to indicate that I would never, ever even consider trying techniques at home without proper training. This woman was very powerful, and I'm pretty sure she could have compelled me to do just about anything. I would definitely not be disobeying her that night, or any other night. "So, what is BDSM?" Mistress Layla asked, her eyebrows disappearing into her razor-straight, jet-black fringe. When none of the group dared to respond, she lifted her heavily cold black eyes to the heavens again, as if beseeching some deity for patience, and sighed deeply. "Bondage, meaning the use of restraints. Domination, meaning consensual control exerted by the dominant upon the submissive, or discipline." The right side of her lip pulled up in a rather frightening grin, as her eyes twinkled with mirth. My heart started beating wildly. This woman was truly, seriously terrifying. I risked a quick look at Alice. Her eyes were glued to Mistress Layla, and there was a rapt expression on her face. "The S is for subordinate, or sub, the one who relinquishes control to the dominant, or dom. S is also for sadism, and the M is for masochism. BDSM is a type of kink, which is anything taboo, edgy, or boundary pushing. Although I mention sadism and masochism, BDSM does not necessarily have to include pain, nor does it have to include degradation or humiliation. What it absolutely has to include is consent. BDSM without consent is abuse." Mistress Layla's voice increased in volume, and as she reached the end of the sentence, her right arm thrust out to punctuate the final word. The entire group flinched back, and her lazy grin reappeared. Consent, people, it's key. Never engage in any form of kink. Hell, any form of play, even if vanilla, without first discussing boundaries, desires, and obtaining clear consent. So, clear communication is obviously essential to any BDSM play. It's crucial to discuss in a safe, neutral space, without judgment or shame, your fantasies and desires, and to agree upon the entire scene upfront. It's also important to discuss hard limits versus soft limits, which is where you are unsure and where it is important to go slow until you know for sure where your hard limit is. The boundaries within which the play happens are also really important to define. In kinky play, the safe word is also of cardinal importance, and it cannot be no or stop, as we often like to play with these words in a scene. It has to be a word that you wouldn't ordinarily use during sex, such as pineapple or pot plant. Unless you're really kinky, that is. And all parties need to agree and be clear that the use of the safe word means an immediate cessation of all play. Is that understood? Yes, Mistress Layla, I found myself chanting in chorus with the rest of the group. She nodded once as if satisfied and continued. BDSM is all about communication, trust, and consensuality. The sub needs to absolutely trust the dom. Trust, once broken, can never be fully regained. Now, let me quickly define for you what a top and a bottom are. Basically, a top is the one giving the experience to the bottom, who simply receives the experience. Usually, the top is the dom, but it can happen that the top is the sub. For example, in the case where the dom commands the sub to give her oral sex. You understand the terms? So, once you've agreed upon the scene, obviously you need to set up the scene. It's also important to set time limits. There must be a beginning and an end, and the time limit must be respected. Again, this is a matter of trust. Always start slow and light, and build up intensity as you go. Now, let's talk about some of the most common equipment we use in BDSM. Firstly, the bondage equipment. Bondage, if correctly done, can be intimate, sensual, and very pleasurable. But it requires trust and great vulnerability on the part of the bottom. We all nod to indicate our understanding. Mistress Layla pulls a large box closer to her throne and removes a handful of equipment. Here are some examples of items used for restraining someone. We have handcuffs, leather cuffs, and straps, ropes, ribbon, scarves. There are so many options, depending upon your preferences. However, if you are going to use rope, please go and get yourself properly trained in how to use it. Otherwise, you could end up harming your partner. And we don't want that, do we? We shook our heads in a perfect concerto, expertly orchestrated by Mistress Layla, who then distributed the bondage equipment for the group to study. Next, gags. Here we have examples of ball gags, bar gags, and spider gags. There are also some examples of blindfolds, which add suspense to your play and serve to heighten the other senses. These items were also distributed for inspection by the group. Collars are used either for play only or, in addition, to denote a relationship between partners. For example, a dom may put a collar upon a sub that denotes her ownership of the sub. This may be worn permanently for as long as the relationship continues and may often have a ring to which a leash may be attached. I found myself wondering whether the tiny blonde elf who had led us through the club was the property of Mistress Layla, and, if so, where on earth she found the courage. "Now we get to the really fun part," Mistress Layla winked at us as she removed an assortment of sticks, floggers, and paddles from her magic box of tricks. As I've already mentioned, a BDSM scene is not necessarily about pain, but it is often about intensity of experience. And some of these babies can create a really intense experience, she roared as a shiver of apprehension crawled up my spine. This is a flogger. It can be dragged across the skin, or it can be used to lightly stimulate the skin. Quite a pleasant sensation. Then we have riding crops, which can be used to lift up the chin of the sub. Mistress Layla stretched out her arm and used the riding crop to slowly lift my chin so that I was looking deep into her pitch black eyes. She winked at me and then released my chin, and I heaved a sigh of relief. Riding crops can also be used to deliver a stinging slap, which is quite invigorating. Then we have a variety of paddles, some of which can leave a specific imprint that can last for a few hours, or even for a few days, depending upon how much force is used. I studied the paddles, one of which had the word "mine" engraved in mirror image on the business end. As I passed this to Alice to inspect, our eyes met and we shared a brief, bemused smile. Then we can also use wooden spoons, rulers, bamboo switches. Actually, you're only limited by your imagination. Again, do not use anything harder than a gentle tap unless you've been properly trained in the use of that piece of equipment. Now, seeing as we're talking about safety, let me show you which parts of the body are safe and which are not. Mistress Layla beckoned to me and I stood up apprehensively in front of her. Never touch any of the joints or even close to the joints, she admonished, placing her hand briefly on each of my joints as she named them. This includes knees, ankles, elbows, wrists, hips, finger joints, etc. Never touch the face or the head or anywhere on the back between the hip bones and the shoulder blades. You can cause severe damage to the internal organs if you do so. Safe places to discipline on the body include the fleshy part of the buttocks, the back between the shoulder blades, the palm of the hand, never the fingers, and the back and the front part of the upper thighs. When in doubt, just stick to the buttocks. These are absolutely perfect for any kind of impact play. Mistress Layla fondled my left buttock before giving it a final squeeze and a tap and dismissing me to return to my cushion. I grimaced at Alice as I sat down, wondering what that had been all about. Was this terrifying woman actually making a play for me, or was I simply her preferred victim of the day? Now, to finish off the theoretical part of this workshop, let's talk about aftercare. Whether there has been actual pain, merely discomfort, or even just simple bondage play involved, it is always important to pay attention to aftercare, particularly for the sub, but also for the dom. A BDSM scene can be very intense, and it definitely takes us out of our normal lives into a very different space, almost like being high. Often the activities involved cause a massive release of all kinds of hormones, such as oxytocin and endorphins and even adrenaline, sometimes even cortisol, the stress hormone. So we need to have some time to decompress afterwards, to relax and to re-enter our normal lives. This kind of aftercare, that you and your partners need will be a part of the upfront discussion before the scene. So make sure that you spend the necessary time on this aspect. It could be anything from cuddles, to talking, to a massage, to chocolate, or a meal, or a cup of tea together. And that concludes my presentation. Next, you're going to pair up and practice the kind of communication required before a BDSM scene. Remember to include all the elements that I have mentioned. And the rule of thumb is this. If you aren't comfortable discussing any of this with your partner, then you're definitely not ready to engage in any form of BDSM. Actually, in my opinion, any form of sexuality whatsoever. Communication is key. Communicate, 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 people! The next 30 minutes were actually a lot of fun, and most of us were laughing as we created our ideal, imaginary BDSM scene in our minds and practiced talking about it, setting boundaries and limits, and picking safe words. Mistress Layla watched over us from her throne with a benevolent eye. On several occasions, I almost forgot about her presence and just lost myself in my discussion with Alice around an imaginary bondage and sensory deprivation scene we were planning together. Finally, Mistress Layla clapped her hands to get our attention and said, "Right, I think you've all got the idea. You can keep practicing these skills at home on some light bondage or sensation play. But remember, never use any equipment in a scene unless you've been properly trained. Now, of course, you each have a pair of hands, which you can definitely use in a scene in many different ways. Right now, I'm going to train you how to use those hands to give a proper spanking in a way that will be fun and harmless for all involved." My heart jumped into my throat as Mistress Layla beckoned to me again. "Would you be willing to help me demonstrate the proper technique?" she purred, causing my blood pressure to skyrocket. "What? Me? I don't know. My voice trailed away as I sat, feeling like a small, furry, soft rodent pinned down by the gaze of a serpent. "Either it's a hell yes or it's a no," she stated emphatically. And to my utter surprise, I felt something inside of me jumping up and down and demanding my attention. I suddenly remembered how exciting I had found the porn video I had watched with James, in which the headmaster had spanked the naughty schoolgirl. With a start, I realized that I actually did want to experience this. And when would be a better time than in this safe and contained environment with an experienced practitioner of the art? It's a hell yes, I said, with way more confidence than I felt, as I jumped up and stood before her. She placed her hand on my back and bent me forwards over her knee, pulling my body close to hers and resting her hand on my buttocks. "There are several positions for spanking someone. Doggy position, bent over a bed or a couch, bending down and grabbing the ankles, or, as in this case, bent over my knee. This particular position is good for providing intimacy, closeness, and a sense of safety, and is relatively comfortable for both the top and the bottom." Mistress Layla gave my rear end a rub at this point to emphasize her deliberate pun, causing the eruption of some rather hysterical laughter in the class. I was pretty sure they were all mightily relieved not to be me at this point in time. "Spanking brings blood flow to the area and can lead to arousal, as well as a rush of all the hormones I mentioned before. Also, it definitely brings you into the present moment. Now, if this were a real scene, I'd definitely pull up this beautiful skirt and pull down the panties to administer the spanking. But in this case, to preserve the dignity of our bottom, we'll leave both in place. So, we start off with a gentle massage and some light kneading, pinching and tapping to warm up the buttock area and to make the bottom accustomed to our touch. Next, since this is a new partner, we need to calibrate her. Right, my dear bottom, I'm going to spank you, and then you must tell me how intense it is on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most intense. Do you understand? I nodded to show my understanding, my buttocks already tingling from her ministrations thus far. My heart was pounding in my chest and my breath was rapid and shallow. But to my surprise, I found that I was actually excited, not terrified. Without warning, Mistress Layla's hand administered a sharp slap to my buttocks. I yelped and jumped. "Now, bottom, what was the score out of 10? She inquired in a sultry voice.
A 6, I think, I stammered.
Okay, then. Now, I'm going to spank you again. This should be about an 8. Tell me if you agree. I yelped again, louder this time, as Mistress Layla administered a harder slap. This time my buttocks were definitely stinging. Those hands were really hard. Was that an 8? She demanded.
Yes, definitely, I concurred a little breathless.
She slapped me once more, much softer this time. What was that one? She inquired.
About 3, I said, realizing with shock that I was actually starting to enjoy myself immensely.
Right, now I'm going to spank you 4 times in a row. What intensity do you wish to experience, bottom?
6, please, I said.
Such good manners, she cooed. As a reward, you will get 1 extra slap.
A shiver of excitement ran through my body, and I was acutely aware that she could feel it. My God, I think I'm totally beginning to understand the attraction of this stuff, I thought to myself.
Now, class, we never just administer 1 slap directly after another. The aim is to keep the bottom in suspense. She must never be able to anticipate when the next slap will arrive. With that, a sharp slap landed on my left buttock.
There are 2 sensations associated with each slap, said Mistress Layla. The first is the sting of the actual slap. The second sensation is the warm, burning feeling that follows a few seconds later. We want the bottom to feel absolutely everything. So we always wait for at least 3 seconds after the slap before administering the next one. Mistress Layla slapped my right buttock and then waited while I became aware of a warm, tingling sensation across both buttocks. It's also a good idea to intersperse spanks with lighter touches. For example, using a light grazing of your nails or stroking a feather over the recently slapped naked buttock causes an exquisite sensation. Or even a gentle rubbing of the area provides a delicious contrast to the spanking sensation. Mistress Layla lightly kneaded my buttocks as she said this, and although it was indeed pleasurable, I actually found myself deeply disappointed that my rear end was covered with 2, albeit very thin, layers of clothing. Another 2 slaps to each buttock, and we were done. Mistress Layla put her hand on my hair and whispered into my ear, "You did well. I'm very pleased with you." And a warm glow filled my chest, a perfect match for the glow in my nether regions. She pulled me up, and I realized that I was feeling unbelievably exhilarated and completely alive in a way that I hadn't felt for a very long time.
"Yes, and now you understand why we do it," she purred, correctly interpreting my blissful expression.
Day 13. Dear Yoni, over the next few weeks, I kept replaying my experiences in Shibari and BDSM over and over again in my mind. I wasn't fascinated by either of these lifestyles although I did think that I might incorporate elements of both within my sex life in future, just to spice things up a little. That is, if I ever had a sex life again. But there was another reason that I couldn't stop thinking about these experiences. A tiny, half-formed thought that was struggling to swim up from my deep subconscious and make itself known to me. A yearning, a reaching for something that I didn't quite understand yet. And then, one morning, I awoke with a single word on my lips. Intimacy. That was what I was missing. Both the Shibari and the BDSM experiences had given me a small taste of a deep intimacy and connection, and that was why I couldn't get them out of my mind. The complete focus and presence to each other that I had witnessed between Kenzie and Kira was really about a powerfully deep intimacy between them. And even though my experience with Mistress Layla had been far more playful than serious, I had still felt an intimacy and a connection between the two of us. This had changed the experience from being a potentially awkward, rather silly and somewhat painful experience into something safe and nurturing and exhilarating. I now knew that what I was really searching for, what I had always been searching for, was intimacy and deep connection on levels other than merely the physical. It was now completely obvious to me that the powerful experience of my dream had definitely been all about total intimacy and soul-deep connection. I realized that I had never actually felt any real intimacy with James, even when we were making love. It had always felt as if I was in my mind, observing us making love, and often judging the lovemaking, instead of in my body, feeling what was going on between us. In my mind, I would always be chasing down an orgasm, which was always the end goal and the measure of a successful sexual encounter. How many orgasms, how intense they were, did we come together? But it was definitely never about intimacy. And intimacy was actually what I truly, deeply craved. Although I had tasted moments of deep intimacy in both the Shibari and the BDSM experiences, I now knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that chasing down ever more extreme and momentarily exciting sexual experiences was never going to provide me with the experience of intimacy and connection that I craved. To my surprise, I realized that I needed to shift the focus of my journey. And the very next experience to which I was guided was, in fact, to provide this necessary shift in focus. And that, dear listener, is all for today. Join me again next week. Bye-bye.